Hallelujah. Well, listen, a couple of times a year, some of us run off to do a cleansing stream ministry retreat, and we serve, our worship team kind of serves, and so some of those times, or if I'm gone or certain things, I'll have somebody come in and speak. In the past, I was just such a glutton for punishment. I just lose my voice, try to, you know. Anyway, I will say this. Heather knows, she knows that because I'm not preaching, I want to like talk, you know. So. Anyway, we have an incredible morning planned for you. And Nick asked me about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago about the direction and stuff. And it's just right in, what he's going to speak is right in the pocket of what we've been, the flow. Aren't you happy about the nature of what God's been doing on us? So this is called God of the Breakthrough. So let's go ahead.
Hallelujah. Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Jesus. So Pastor's been speaking to us for the last few weeks about God of prayer and the strategic God and the planning God. And today we're going to be talking about the God of breakthrough. The God of breakthrough. It's hard because it's kind of like I've seen this incredible movie, and I know the ending, but you don't know the ending yet. The ending's really good. The ending's really exciting. But you're about to watch the first scene, and the first scene's quiet and emotional and deep. And so I'm trying so hard to be reserved and get with you on your level, even though I know the ending, and it's really exuberant and really exciting. So if I'm excitable today, you'll have to forgive me, because the ending of the God of the breakthrough and his work in our life, there's no beating it. There's no beating it. Thank you, God. Jesus, we just ask that you would speak to us right now. We open our hearts to you, to your Holy Spirit. We repent of every place we've not given you and every place we've given to ourselves or to other voices. And we just say, speak to us, Lord. Like we sang earlier in worship, speak to us, Lord. I can hear you. Amen. So I was praying, Lord, what do you want to speak to us about yourself as the God of breakthrough? What passage do you want to talk to us about? And the Holy Spirit whispered, the woman with the issue of the blood. It's like, oh, cool. I've heard a lot about that one before. The thing I love about God, he's just endless. He's just endless. And if you spend time with him, he just keeps revealing himself to you in new ways that you couldn't have known. And so if you've heard this 1,000 times or if this is your first time, I invite you to open your hearts and to hear this story in a very different way, in a new way, as we realize what it's like to bring Jesus our greatest problems. So in Mark chapter 5, this story about the woman with the issue of the blood is in 3 of the 4 Gospels, so it's well recorded. My favorite is Mark 5, 21 through 43, with parallel texts in Matthew and Luke, of course. It's really funny, really hilarious to me, is that last time I spoke to you, we were talking about Jesus being over and healing this demoniac. Well, in Mark 5, he had just finished. It says, Jesus crossed again in the boat to the other side. A great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. So it's almost like we're picking up right where we left off, which is really funny. God has a sense of humor. So then came one of the rulers of the synagogue. So I try to imagine things very physically, right? Jesus just came across the Sea of Galilee in his boat with his buddies. They got out. There's already people there. They're always looking for him. He's like, he just gets out of his boat, and there's people. There's always people. And a man who was a ruler in the synagogue, that was like their church, that's their little meeting center for their religion, comes up to him, Jairus, and seeing him, seeing Jesus, Jairus fell at his feet, imploring him, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. I can't imagine my baby girl being on her deathbed. And he went with him. Jesus went with him, and a great crowd followed him. I mean, this is exciting. We've heard Jesus doing miracles. If things are mentioned by Mark chronologically, then no one's been raised from the dead yet. So come save her. Come save her from dying, right? Everyone's like, oh, this sounds pretty exciting. Let's go check this out, right? Let's go see what's about to happen. Let's follow the teacher. So there's a great crowd thronging around Jesus. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. You know, if you hear this story a lot, I don't know, maybe I'm just dumb. But for me, like, it just goes over my head. And then you just go, okay, so you had some problem, and then you keep reading. No, no, no. This isn't just some problem. In Israel, if you were, God gave them the law to protect them, to keep them clean, like physically, actually clean, like scientifically clean. Thousands of years before we knew what germs were, God told his people to wash their hands. God's really cool. He's really good to us. Thousands of years before we knew that blood and semen could give diseases to each other, God said, when you're bleeding, go outside the camp. Stay away from everyone else. Wait. God's really faithful, right? Here's the problem. In Leviticus 15, the law says, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual cycle, or if she has discharged beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of her discharge, she will continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she's unclean. Guys, if you're unclean, according to the law, guess what? You can't be with everyone else. You actually are ostracized from your community for that time period. If she was married, her husband divorced her. You can't help me. You can't bear me children. You can't touch me. If she had children, she was never allowed to touch them again. If she had anything at all, it was all lost. Or maybe worse yet, she was just barren. No man ever touched her, and no children ever came out of her womb because she was that woman with the issue of the blood. Completely set apart. The loneliness and the grief would be beyond compare. Be better off dead than in that hell. It says that she spent all of her money on doctors. And if you've ever been to doctors with a difficult problem, something hard to diagnose, you'll understand what it says about her, that instead of things getting better, things got even worse. Completely heartbroken, completely forsaken, completely lost, completely alone, nothing left. Nothing left, nobody. Nobody. If anyone cared about her, they're not even allowed to go physically touch her. We don't understand when it says, and there was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. So we have to understand what that means. Okay? Great crowds thronging around Jesus, and there was a woman with a discharge of blood for 12 years who had suffered much under many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. I love it. For she said, if I just touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of her disease.
Hallelujah!
Wow! Wow! Wow, wow, wow. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, I love that. He's like, what? What happened? Immediately, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? The disciples are like, dude, all these people are like thronging about. Everyone's touching your garments. He's like, no. No, I felt power go out from me. They're like, what? What? Jesus looked around to see who did it. Now remember, she wasn't allowed in the town. She wasn't allowed in the city. She wasn't allowed to be touching people. Yet alone the greatest teacher of all time, getting his cloak all dirty with her uncleanness. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling. Why was she afraid? Is she about to get rebuked? Mosaic law says that she's just ruined everybody in the whole crowd. They all have to go apart now from everyone else for days now because they touched her. She came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. Do you ever just need to tell God the whole truth? Lord, I've been praying about this part of my life, but I need to tell you about this whole part right here. Thanks for talking to me about this, but I know you kind of see all of this, so maybe we should just talk about it. Let's talk about the whole truth, Jesus. If you haven't been, start now. It's a good day to do it. God of the breakthrough. The woman, knowing what happened to her, came fear and trembling. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. So he speaks to, in front of everyone, and affirms her, puts peace in her heart, saying, not that this was some freak accident, some loophole in the kingdom of God that she snuck through. He says, no, this was acceptable. I love you. Go in peace. But here's the problem. While he was speaking to her, there came a servant from the ruler's house, Jairus. Remember Jairus? This whole thing started with Jairus saying, my daughter's about to die. And they said, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. But overhearing what they said to him, Jesus says to Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, which are those are his closest guys. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing. And when he entered, he said to them, Jesus says, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The girl's not dead, she's just asleep. You ever want to get thrown out of town quickly or punched in the face or shot? Tell someone who's grieving their dead daughter that she's asleep." Okay? They laughed at him. And he put them outside. And he took only the child's father and mother and Peter, James, and John inside the room with him. So he says, look, for us to do this, we need to get everyone else out of here. Got mom and dad, me, my three peeps, Peter, James, and John, and dead girl. Who isn't dead? She's just asleep. Okay? Seven people in the room, including dead girl, who's about to be something else. Taking her by the hand, he said to the girl, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, arise." Immediately, the girl gets up. And she began walking. Now, watch this part. Because she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. Now, again, if Mark's telling us things chronologically, this is the first resurrection. This is unprecedented. Do you need to believe God for something that's never been done before? No prob. He does that. He does that. Strictly, he charged them. No one should know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. Feed dead girl. She's hungry, man. Hallelujah. So, interestingly enough, one woman, completely ostracized from society, no good to anybody, completely broken for 12 years. While she was dead for 12 years, she was alive. And at the end of her 12 years, she came back alive and she died. This is a story about daughters. This is a story about the beloved, the father's heart. This is a story. It's actually one story. It's just about people needing God. The number 12, which is significant here because it didn't have to be both numbers for both of them. It didn't need to be mentioned. The significance of it, if you look up that number in the Bible, it means God's power and authority. And it also references God's people, Israel. So you're the daughter. You're dead. Or you're the woman with this issue of the blood for 12 years, something in your life you can't stop or change. You ever been addicted? You ever been divorced? You ever had someone die? You ever been out on your own? You ever been addicted to prescription pills, pornography, bitterness? Name it, right? You've got a problem you can't stop. She had a problem she couldn't stop. Thank you, Jesus. I love it because the woman with the issue of the blood broke the rules by being there. She broke the rules by touching him. She broke the rules by believing. And that faith made her well. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I told you I've already seen the end of this movie. It's a good one. So, number one, if you look at your page here, you need to get God dirty. You need to bring Jesus your ugly mess. This ain't a pretty story, guys, gals. You need to get God dirty. We need to bring Jesus our ugly mess. When we stand up here and speak to you, when we stand up here and lead worship, we are no different than you. It wasn't that I sinned this week in some vague way. I sinned today. I sinned 20 minutes ago. I probably sinned halfway through this message. I am imperfect. You are too. You got an ugly mess. You know, we come to church and like, oh, let's talk about this little part of my life. What would you like prayer for, Jimmy? Oh, I'd like prayer for my neighbor. I want him to come to Jesus. How about you? How are you doing, Jimmy? Oh, I'm good. Ting. I'm good. Not sure how I'm going to pay my bills this week. Not sure if my wife and I are talking. Not sure if I'm still friends with my parents. My daughter told me last night if I ever yell at her again, she's leaving. Yeah, I'm good. Just pray for my neighbor. Yeah, just I really have a burden for him. Guys, it's time to tell Jesus the whole truth. Get your ugly mess out in the light. Break the rules. Tell someone. Confess. Repent. Renounce. Be saved. Say, "Heal me, God. I'm nothing without you. I can't change without you. Please invade my life. If I just touch you." Bring him your ugly mess. Get Jesus dirty, because his response isn't going to be, "Get away from me. This is church. Put your suit on and talk about your neighbor." No. No. His response is going to be, "Daughter, son, your faith has healed you.
Go in peace. Be well.
Be well. Thank you, Jesus. I love it because God isn't really interested in just fixing your problem. Oh, we just have this fixation on our problem. Lord, if you could just get me this raise, if you could just get me this raise, if you could just heal my daughter, if you could just get me this raise, if you could just heal my daughter, if you could just let my boss be nicer to me, and you're just focused on your problem. If I could just stop being addicted to painkillers, if I could just be just my problem, Lord, just fix my problem. I just need a little bit more money by the end of the month, the 25th through the 30th. If you could cover that 5 days, I'd be fine. Okay? And God is like so cool that he loves fixing our problem, but he actually cares about something bigger than that. Point number two, God's not interested in just fixing your problem. He wants to bring you wholeness. Well, that's a nice cleansing stream or city church kind of mantra, Nick, but where'd you get that out of this passage? Well, let's look at this passage together after you finish your filling in the blank. God's not interested in just fixing your problem. He wants to bring you wholeness. Wholeness. How do I know? Well, it says that after she touched him, that her blood dried up. So 12-year-long problem is over, right? Wrong. Right now, the blood drying up in her body is the least of her problems. Nobody touched you for 12 years. You lost your husband. You lost your kids. Maybe we need to repeat this. Nobody touched you for 12 years. The pain, the rejection, the insanity. If she was even sane in her own brain, I don't even know that's possible. The insanity, the deep, deep pain. How much, we should pray, Lord, just fix my problem, fix my problem, fix my problem. He's like, easy, easy peasy. Let's do that. No probs, Bobs. Easy. Let's look at your heart. So after she's already done bleeding, her body's no longer broken. It doesn't bleed anymore. He says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Past tense. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. What disease is he talking about? That word in the Greek is actually mastix, and it means affliction. You go in tranquility and be healed of this affliction. And the word means scourging. If you've ever been through the worst year of your life, or the worst 5 years of life, or the worst 12 years of your life, even if it isn't from God, even if it's just a picture of this broken world, it feels like a scourging. It just feels like someone just whipping it out of you, man. And Jesus comes to heal that. Hallelujah. Not just fix your problem. He's because he could have kept walking. He could have kept walking. He knows she's healed. All right, cool, let's go. Let's go heal a little 12-year-old girl. Stop. Someone touched my garment. Who was it? Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Oh, it was me. I'm so sorry. Because he wasn't done. The transaction wasn't done yet. It wasn't done yet. So some of you in this room actually have had problems fixed by God without any joking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But some of you are walking around with the issue inside your heart still. Maybe you're not addicted anymore, but your heart aches. Maybe you're not living in bitterness anymore, but you feel the rejection of the season still. And God wants to come bring wholeness to that. Amen. You're not done, and he's not done. He's interested in going deeper. I love it because the Greek word for daughter, thugater, the very first explanation of what that word means in the Greek, acceptable by God. You're not allowed to be touched. You're not allowed to be around the 400 people right now. You're not allowed to be in town. You're not allowed to be touching me. You're not allowed to be in our presence. You're rejected. You're alone. You're ostracized. Your past does not dictate who you are to God. Your sins do not dictate who you are to the King. He calls you acceptable. He says, come here, acceptable. Come here. Doesn't determine your future either. Who Jesus says you are, that's who you are. Come here, all your sins and all your problems, you're acceptable. I love you. Be healed. I'll tell you what, when you really have the acceptance of God, I'm not like perfect on this, but I've got some beautiful fountain of it in my daily life. You could care less in a good way about what anyone else thinks. I don't need your approval to feel good about myself, because the God of the universe accepts me. He calls me beloved son. He calls you beautiful daughter. You're good. And it messes with people. Other people who want you to still want their acceptance. They're like, what's wrong with you? You're like, I'm good. You can come be good too if you want. There's plenty of it, but I'm good. Some dysfunctional friend that you're no longer codependent with. Some weird spouse who thinks that you need them. Guess what? I'm good. Jesus loves me. And if you want to be good too, you just come hang out with him. He'll accept you too, but you got to give him your dirty mess. Got to give him your dirty mess. Oh, praise God. Lord, lastly, number three. I love it. You're walking in, and it says that, he says, do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. Knowing it. It's a fact, Jack. I don't care what you did for the woman with the issue of the blood just now. Little girl here is dead. I know it. They knew it. It doesn't say they perceived it or thought it, and she was sleeping with a low heart rate, and the miracle was that he brought her up. No, she was dead. But guess what? Number three says God's word determines reality. God's word determines reality. And if you ever heard the saying, it ain't over until the fat lady sings? The fat lady is a beautiful, handsome, 33-year-old man from Mesopotamia. The fat lady's name is Jesus, and he's a carpenter and a shepherd, and you ain't dead until he says you're dead. Hallelujah! Your marriage isn't over until it's over, because he's the one who speaks life to dead situations. Your friend you've been begging God for salvation for, it ain't over! Till Jesus says it's over. And if he says life to that person, then guess what, guys? They're going to live. They are going to live. Forgive me for shouting, but this is a really exciting day. What is dormant in your life? This is your homework this week. I'm begging you. What is dormant in your life that God is saying is only asleep? But the enemy of your soul is saying it's dead. What dream of yours? What relationship of yours? What vision for your future of yours? What body part of yours is no longer working? That the enemy of your soul is coming to you every day, all day long, and you know what I'm talking about. What addiction of yours does the devil just stand here and gnaw at your brain all day and say, you're worthless, you'll never beat this, you're worthless, you'll never beat this. And you think it's you. It's not you. Jesus sends him out of the room. He says, get out of here. What is dormant in your life that God is saying, it's just asleep? Just asleep. I love it because if you actually really need the things I'm talking about today, your heart hurts so bad that some of this exuberance is hard to connect with. And I love it because Jesus says to the little girl, he says, little girl, get up. But Mark records this entire book in Greek, okay? The entire book's in Greek. There's three or four or five times that Mark makes a specific point to quote Jesus verbatim in the physical language that was coming out of Jesus' mouth, which is a language called Aramaic. Because Jesus wasn't high and mighty. Jesus was a working man like you. Jesus was a regular dude like you and me. And he spoke in the language that everyone could understand instead of some Hebrew or Latin or Greek that one-third of you with a little bit more money and a better degree could understand. No, he spoke like a regular dude. And in this instance, the physical words coming out of his mouth, Mark wanted you to hear them because they have some special meaning. He says to the little girl, Talitha kumi. The word Talitha, it's like a little lamb. It's like, baby girl, get up. The tenderness, the kindness in his voice is, baby girl, come here. So if you really need this message, you don't need a shouting Nick Haywood preaching at you. You need the Holy Spirit, the King of Kings, to speak to your heart and say, baby girl, stand up. Come out of the shadows. My handsome prince, come out. Come here. Come here, baby boy. Come here. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, guys. It's the kindness. I have some friends who are going to be standing up here. Come now, if you would, please. They want to pray with you. Matthew, if you could. They want to be with you. I don't care if it's two of you or 27 of you. We want the God of breakthrough in your life. And that's done by coming up and telling the whole truth. So if you want Jesus to speak to you and work in your life right now, come on up. These are pastors and trusted people to work in your life. This is the end of the message. The whole rest of it's your life. Come on up. God wants to work in your life. God wants to speak to you. God wants to heal you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just consecrate this time to you. Every place that we're broken and bruised and bleeding and all of the pain that we can't stop or heal or change ourselves, we just give it to you, God. That vision God's resurrecting in your heart right now. Listen, let him resurrect it. Bring it to one of these people and get prayer. That pain in your heart maybe has already been fixed. The problem's been fixed, but your heart still hurts. The relationship was lost and you understand that now, but your heart still hurts. Come on up. Come on up. You need physical healing. Let the creative God of miracles rework your history. Come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. Thank you for the gentleness of your invitation. Baby girl, rise up. Baby girl, get up. Baby boy, come here. I got you. I got you, son. Come here. We worship you, King. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. If this isn't your moment for this, if you were encouraged, but this isn't the day that you need prayer for this, or you're just not ready, service is over. And if you could quietly go to your post or quietly go to get your children, that'd be awesome. If you need a moment to just be still with the Lord, do it. Stay and do your business with him. But let's keep this down, this area, for the next 15 minutes or so. Let's just keep it a place of peace and prayer. And even as you were to have some coffee or get your children, keep your heart in an attitude of prayer for your friends, for your brothers and sisters. And Lord, we declare you're the God of breakthrough. We declare your breakthrough over our life today. We declare your breakthrough in our nation. We declare your breakthrough over racial violence. And we say peace and unity now in Jesus' name. We ask for protection and peace upon this nation and on every heart here. Grace and peace and healing in Jesus' name. Amen.